Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey everybody, welcome to another week of Do You Thanks Just Bought It, the podcast where we tell you what we just bought and tell you what you should buy next. I'm your host, Caroline Moss, and this week we're joined by a very, very special guest, Tom Everett Scott. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I am so happy to be here.
I'm so happy to have you here. So, you've been kind of emailing me for the last like few months, just like begging to be on, and I know right. that, yeah, and I wanted to give you a chance. Like, you seemed like you really wanted to be here.
This is all happening exactly how my publicist drew it up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Let a pandemic happen.
Right.
Right? Hope that some host of a podcast just happens to watch that thing you do for the first time.
Yep.
Explains that to Twitter.
Right.
Here we are, guest on your show.
You couldn't have... dreamed it up in a better way. And I applaud you. I feel like you did a ton of work for this and now you're here and we're happy to have you here. So for those of you who have not been following along with my new and my first celebrity crush ever, Tom Everett Scott is Guy Patterson in That Thing You Do, a movie that came out in what, 96?
Yes.
That I never saw. I knew it existed, but I never saw it.
We're not going to dwell on this.
We're not.
You've seen it now.
We're not. I've seen it now. I've asked if we could. I asked my husband if we could watch it again. And he said, you know, we just watched it last week. I said, fine, I'll watch it by myself. So the reason we watched it for the first time was Dan is a really big Adam Schlesinger fan. Was a really big Adam Schlesinger fan.
Oh, well, that explains it. And so sad that he passed. And yeah. It was.
I have been hearing about Adam Schlesinger for years because not only is it Fountains of Wayne, but it was also the Stephen Colbert Christmas special. It was That Thing You Do. It was Josie and the Pussycats, which I've also never seen. And Dan was trying to get me to see. So in his honor, we turned on That Thing You Do.
Yes, I'm so glad to honor him. He did so many wonderful things and won so many awards. Yeah. Really, he was super, super talented. He came in to our rehearsals before we started shooting the film, and he was just so funny and kind and generous, and you know, at a time when I was really brand new to acting and having to like play this song, and he just got us all off on the right foot.
It's an amazing song. It's an amazing movie. The thing that we kept saying when we were watching it was like, it's pretty incredible to write a song that you can hear like 12 times over the same 2.5 hours. Like that song comes up every 25 minutes. I mean, and you're very, I'm happy to hear it. I was happy to hear it every single time. And it's been in my head for a week.
Well, that's not for you to say. I mean, we heard it a few more times than the average person
right.
filming it.
Right.
It hinged so much on it being a perfect song. And I know that they had like over 300 submissions. I know that Tom Hanks and the producer Gary Getzman had written one themselves that, you know, nothing made the one that made the cut was Adams.
Wow.
And it really had to be perfect.
Yeah.
It had to be something that could be a hit.
Right.
It had to be catchy and it had to go and it had to involve the words That Thing You Do, because that actually came first when Tom wrote the script.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. I mean, I'm learning so much this week. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is crazy. Yeah, you had to write a song in 1995 or 96 that could have been a hit in the 60s that would be fun to listen to in the 90s, which is right. That's a tall order.
It is. So kudos to Adam and he did an amazing job.
Try to forget you, girl, but it's just so hard to do.
Yeah, and I was so happy to watch it. I was very surprised that it was 2.5 hours. That's a long film.
No. You watched the extended cut.
Oh, I don't. I I've only seen it. I've only seen one version. I don't know. Did I?
Yes, you must have.
Okay, what scenes did I see that no one else has seen then, or that is on the? Oh, now I should have really done my research. Well,
so then you saw? No, you. That's cool. I mean, the theatrical the theatrical version is like an hour and a half long.
Oh.
Yeah, and then like I think with the 10-year anniversary, they released the director's cut.
That's probably what I saw.
Yeah, so that has all the scenes with like me and there's a lot more Charlize Theron in the director's cut.
Okay. Yes. Yes. That makes sense. She was there a lot. And now maybe on my second viewing I'll watch the non-director's cut.
Well, you will have a chance. I don't know when you're going to post this.
Next Friday.
Okay, well.
Okay.
Oh boy, this is cutting it close, but the Wonders, the Oneaters, and I are going to do a live YouTube live.
Yes.
We're going to do a commentary of the theatrical release.
Oh my God. When? It's
super, super fun. I know we've invited everybody else. Like I think Liv is going to come by and cool. You know, we're going to do like a Zoom session on YouTube and
yeah.
And I know, I think Tom and Rita are going to try to pop in. I think Colin Hanks is going to maybe show his face. Maybe Giovanni. We're trying to get a bunch of people involved.
Oh my gosh, when is this happening?
Is going to happen now. This is, unless this completely just blows up between now and then.
Well, now that you've told me it's happened, it has to happen. I'm literally writing it down.
The idea is to do this on April 17th.
Okay.
Like at 4 p.m. Pacific is the idea for now, unless it changes.
Okay.
And we're just hoping that we can do this without like breaking 1,000 piracy laws. And if we get into trouble, like if the algorithm shuts us down because one of the little Zoom screens has the movie playing in it, then we'll just lose that screen and then you can watch it later and just cue it up with the start of the movie.
Yeah, that's an incredible idea. I was hoping for a live Oneaters concert.
Oof.
But I know that maybe you'd have to do some practices before that could...
Exactly. Yeah. The problem with that is that we're really actors. We're not really musicians, so...
Don't tell me, don't crush all my dreams. I know, the magic of Hollywood. Well, when I was watching, so I don't really have celebrity crushes, as I said in my tweet, but I have such a crush on you.
That's so sweet. Is it because Guy is just like this perfect guy? I mean, like, what's the...
Yeah, I mean, no, you just want to like hear, you want to hear it? I mean, like, just like, let me know. I was like, what is it? I don't know what it is. I don't really have celebrity crushes. Like, because I, you know, growing up, it's like, you're not going to date a celebrity. Like, let's not be realistic. It's just a waste of time. Guy is, it's a perfect, like, 90s dude. It just kind of took me back to being a teen.
This is perfect timing. My wife just walked in. So you got all that, right?
Yeah, you're hearing that?
Object of desire. She's like, whatever. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's awesome. I love that. That's great. I actually don't know how to handle that. It kind of makes me still turn red. So,
sure. Was it weird that that tweet got so much engagement?
It did. It got a ton of engagement. Oh my goodness.
It really did. See, I'm really used to that just because like, I'm just used to like all of my tweets, you know, doing really well and sort of sparking so many conversations. But like it had like 15,000 likes by the end of the night. Oh, wow. Like, everyone was like, you are really late to this.
Wow. Like,
we were all in love with Guy Patterson.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now you're on board. So all I can say is welcome. Welcome aboard.
One more to that 15,000 plus. And you're in I'm Sorry with Andrea Savage. And that's her. It's her show. It's her writing.
Yeah. So she wrote that. That's based on her life.
So funny.
She had been putting it together. She did like a little presentation of it. And then it got picked up by True TV, which is part of the TNT, TBS kind of family of channels. And then she came to me and she said, you know, I really want you to play my husband in this thing. And it was so sweet because we didn't even know each other. She just, you know, was approaching me basically unknown and other than just knowing my work. And I was super flattered by that. And I also really just loved the material. And it was so funny because I feel like I was living that life. I mean, I have, my wife is funny and we've raised kids in Hollywood and that's the premise of the show. So. Yeah. I was like, oh, I can do this or else I should quit acting if I can't. And it's worked out great. Andrea and I have had really good chemistry and she's just written a super funny show.
It's really, it is really, really, really funny. I watched the episode that made me like, I think I like spit out my dinner last night while I was watching was the Nazi episode when your TV daughter watches Sound of Music for the first time and wants to know what Nazis are.
Well, what's so true about that movie is that it's totally such a movie until it's all about Nazis.
I grew up watching that movie, and I think you just have a smart TV daughter, because I don't think I picked up on the Nazi thing for like a really long time. I was just into the dancing, loved the matching clothes.
Right.
Doe a deer. I was not in like the 1940s, like Germany wasn't like, it was not penetrating my brain yet. I had no idea.
Right. You were like, do me, me, me. Right. So, yeah.
Yeah. Ray, fa, fa, la, ti, ti. Exactly. And then it was like, oh, I'm Rolf and like Heil Hitler. And I was like, yeah, okay. Like, when's the next song? Sure. Great. But yeah, this whole entire episode is basically your TV daughter continuously asking you, or being very afraid of Nazis, being very afraid that the Nazis are going to come get her. And then you and Andrea have this conversation that's like, you know, do we tell her Nazis are fake? And then it's like, no, then she's a Holocaust denier. It's great writing. Great acting, great writing. It's really funny.
That's pretty much every episode has stuff like that.
Yes. And it's on Netflix, which is great for these times. I mean, people are looking for, there's only so much TV you can watch. So if you haven't watched I'm Sorry, I definitely recommend it. If you haven't seen That Thing You Do, I recommend that too. We're having, and Because I Said So, which I actually had seen.
Oh.
But you didn't, you were kind of a dick.
I know.
Yeah, you were kind of a dick in that movie. So it didn't, I didn't like, we didn't, you know, I didn't feel that connection.
Got it.
I asked you, not here just to gush, which I've done now, for 13 minutes. Great. I asked you to bring two products, or one product, but we decided on two that you wanted to evangelize, and I kind of told you the rundown of the show, and you came back to me pretty much like on point with exactly the kind of stuff that I want people to bring. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back to hear what Tom Everett Scott brought to G-Thanks Just Bought It. Okay, we're back. So Tom Everett Scott, what did you bring? What did you what did you bring to share?
Okay, so I was thinking about this, and I know that one of my products that I, what would you say, is like something I love?
Yeah, like a, yeah, you just, you love it so much. And like when anyone, when you can get anyone's ear on it, you want to tell them like, oh, you got to get this thing. Like this thing is so good. It's changed the way I, whatever.
This really did change my life. So with the, you know, with the advent of iPhones being basically your, you know, GPS, and when you're in the car, you really like need to like put that up somewhere where you can see it so that you're not constantly looking down into your cup holder or getting into an accident or whatever. Those air vent clips for your phone. I have the Kinu Airframe Plus air vent holder for my phone. And I like love it so much that my wife doesn't have one in her car because her air vents are a little weird and you can't really make one happen in there.
Okay.
That I hate driving her car because there's no little clip in there.
So you, and you like can't, it's not like a transferable thing where, because the air vents are weird. So you can't just bring yours out of your car.
Because it doesn't work in her car. And I've
so
tried.
So what the, does she use?
Well, she's like, whatever, I don't want one. She doesn't want to deal with it. Like I try to get her to get one. And just like, that's something I don't care about in life.
Yeah.
And like, I love these things so much that I take one with me if I'm going to go shoot something at a, on location, like in another city. And I know that I'm going to have like a rental car. Mm-hmm. I bring, like, I know I'm going to need it.
That is like a pet. Do you have now, like, have you ever considered buying two, like one just for travel, one for your car at home, so you don't like, I don't, I'd be afraid of leaving what you have too, don't you? You definitely do.
Yes, okay. You nailed it.
That's exactly how I am about like certain like skincare products where I'm like, okay, one just like stays in my suitcase and one is in my bathroom and then I don't have to remember to remember it. The thing about the clip, so I have one for my car that is a magnet.
Oh.
But I don't like it that much. And I'm wondering if I should switch to the vent clip. It's like, it goes into the CD. I guess at some point, whoever's making it is like, CD players are, you know, they're still in the car, but you don't need them. And so like the whole product is like, you shove this thing into the CD player and then it's like a magnet and you stick your phone to it. But then you have to put a magnet on your phone. And it doesn't look good.
Doesn't seem right.
It doesn't seem right. And then it, and then, yeah. And I feel like the clip might be the answer. Because in our house have the same problem, which is like, I have the magnet on a case, but I don't use that case all the time. It's only when I'm in the car. And then if I forget that case,
it won't work.
And then I just put it in the cup holder. And driving in LA, as you know, and I'm new here, I don't know where I am ever.
Right.
And now that I can't leave my house, I'll never know where I am. So it's, that's interesting. Does it ever fall out of the, like, is it sturdy?
Okay, I will say this. They do have a lifespan because of constant use. So I've had one break, or like the little rubber, like, parts that kind of grip the vent.
Okay.
Sometimes the little covering on them, the little rubber covering, will come off and get lost.
Okay.
And once that comes off, you lose all your, you know, grip.
Right.
So I have had to replace it maybe once or twice.
How much does it cost?
Oh, geez. You're catching me off guard. Yeah.
Unprepared. It's like what? It's like has to be like a $20-$25 kind of thing.
It might be. I mean, I can definitely go into my orders on my Amazon app and look, and I probably bought one in, you know, 2018.
Sure. Yeah. I'm going to assume it's between, don't, you know, stress yourself out trying to find it. I'm sure we can find it.
I'm not stressed at all.
It's a good thing to have. Are you spending much time in your car these days, or are you really trying to stay home as much as possible?
These days, no. In fact, today I hadn't been in the car in 2 weeks, and I actually went for a drive this morning, and it was just felt so strange. And I was like, oh my God, I miss NPR.
Without traffic, LA is really nice.
So great, right?
It's great. I mean, you can really get anywhere in like 30 minutes. And I drove all the way from my house on the east side to Santa Monica, even though you can't get out of the car. Like, it took like 32 minutes at 5:30 on like a Wednesday. And I know that will never happen again.
No, that's so true. It's like we're not missing the traffic.
No, but I have no frame of reference. I've been here for like 7 weeks. I literally left Brooklyn and
So wild. So Brooklyn, huh? You came in from Brooklyn?
I came in from Brooklyn.
I mean, they're just like such opposite cities, and you really can't even compare them. So, and it's so strange that this happened right as you got here. You'll see. Like, when things get back to normal, you know, the downside is the traffic, the upside is the weather.
Yeah.
I just looked it up in the Kino Airframe. Yep. Phone holder is $14.95.
Wow, that's even less than we thought. That's great. Yep. You can buy like five of those.
Super affordable.
Just have them on deck. I love that. And then you had another thing that we decided would be the car kind of quarantine thing. You have another product to go with your air vent for the your air vent phone holder.
So just trying to do my part with zero waste.
Good.
And I love this Keep Cup that I have. That's the name of it. It's a tempered glass, 12 ounce. They come in different sizes, but mine's 12 ounce.
Mm-hmm.
Tempered glass with a real cork, like, grip around the middle of the glass.
It's nice.
You can't stick it in the dishwasher. You got to wash it by hand, which is fine. I mean, there's several items in our kitchen that you can't stick in the dishwasher, so it's fine. And it's just it's great. It's got kind of like, I guess it has like a rubbery plastic top, but it's just so nice in your hand, the glass as opposed to plastic. I don't really love plastic stuff, and I don't know. It just feels good to drink out of a glass.
Yeah. Do you feel like an adult?
I kind of feel like an adult. I feel like I'm getting into my car with like a White Russian, like the Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like a cocktail, but I'm usually not drinking a cocktail when I drive.
I would hope not.
I'm usually drinking like a cold brew from, you know, Blue Bottle or this really great mom and pop coffee place down the street from me called Saatchi. Just love it. And nice. They're actually open during this.
They are? Like a to-go?
Yeah, they're doing orders, so we're trying to keep them going.
Good. Yeah, I think that's the other part about moving here when you really don't know the community is like, I couldn't name three restaurants in LA that aren't like owned by Lisa Vanderpump and like on Bravo. So like, it's weird to kind of feel like all of my, you know, community based stuff is in Brooklyn. Do you bring your Keep Cup, or like when we were going to stores, like, would you bring it into a Blue Bottle and have them fill it up so that you didn't have to use?
Yeah. Or Saatchi or wherever. They all give you like a little like 15% discount off your drink if you bring in a cup.
Nice.
Yeah. But when the coronavirus stuff started, they were like, oh, we can no longer even touch your cup. No problem.
It was the same thing with like reusable bags, I think, too. Like a lot of grocery stores were like, stop bringing like all this fabric from home.
Yeah. You got to leave that out here and stuff. We've stopped going places entirely. The only thing that we went to pick up was, like stuff for our pets, coffee down the street where you order it ahead of time and then they just kind of set it out. And yeah, and everyone keeps 6 feet distant. And then bagels. We were like driving by our bagel place and just got the craziest urge.
LA has bagels? I mean, tell me about that. Tell me about an LA bagel.
So it's harder. Me and my wife are East Coasters, and we lived in New York at the beginning of our career, like first 10 years.
Yep.
That's where I was living when I got that thing you do. And you can't compare bagels. Yeah. So forget it. It's like pizza. It's just different here. So it's harder to find the good places. So when you do find a good place, you kind of got to stick to it.
Yeah.
So there's one place here that's called New York Bagels.
Sure. It's good brand. It's just good branding.
Of course it is. And so I just like quickly like called them like, are you doing orders? And they're like, yeah. And they just took my order to the phone. We pulled up and, you know, they came out and dropped it next to the car.
Nice.
Yeah.
You have your bagel. What's your bagel order? Like, you know how politicians have to say their bagel orders? And at least in New York they do. We make our mayoral candidates tell us what they put on their bagel.
I love a good everything bagel. I love it with cream cheese and like, you know, a slice of tomato with some salt.
Great.
I'll go for lox if everybody's having lox, if it's like at somebody's house and they've got a really nice spread, but I don't usually order it, you know, regularly.
In the store. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's a good order. That's a good bagel order.
What's your bagel order?
I usually do like a sesame seed or a poppy seed with vegetable cream cheese and tomato and cucumber slices.
Yeah.
But I also like a cinnamon raisin bagel, and I am told by my Jewish husband that is like the most insulting thing I can order. So I only do it alone. It's like, right. I only have a cinnamon raisin bagel when I'm by myself.
Pretty Gentile order.
It's a very Gentile order, but it's good. I mean, it's like eating cake. It's like a different, you know what I mean? Like, you're like, if you know, you want the salty, then you want like your cake bagel. But I apparently, if like one time brought, I think my in-laws, or I suggested that we bring my in-laws like Zabar's or something, you know, super Jewish. And when ordering the dozen bagels, I like threw in two cinnamon raisin, and I was told like, do not.
When we go back, because my brother-in-law has a place in the Lower East Side, and I always stay in the Lower East Side whenever I go there. I always try to stay at like the Ludlow or something. I love that. That's my favorite neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And right there, Russ and Daughters. That's my bagel place.
The best.
Yeah.
Russ and Daughters PR person, Jen Snow, is a friend of mine, and I know she follows and listens to this podcast. So Jen. Hey. Did you hear that? We are going to take a quick break, and then we will be right back.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Okay, we're back. So tell me how much the Keep Cup costs, and do you have more than one, and do they come in different sizes?
Okay, so they do come in different sizes, and yes, I have more than one, and I bought one. I got one as a gift for my wife from Blue Bottle, so it has a little Blue symbol on it.
Nice.
And then I realized how cool it was, so I got one for myself.
Cool.
And now Saatchi down the street here, they have them as well, so I have a Saatchi one. I'm trying to think of how much they cost. I really don't know.
Okay.
They're not expensive.
We'll look it up. The plastic thing, I will say the thing about California that I really like is that everyone's very attentive to like a no waste or limited waste thing.
Right.
Which is not super the case in New York. But I work from home, and like there was no really like big commute situation, but I did go to get coffee somewhere and I couldn't tell you where it was when we first moved here, and I noticed that everyone walked in the coffee shop with their own like cups from home, which I've never really seen before. People were walking out with like just open top mugs, like they were in their kitchen, and I kind of liked that. It's cool.
I do that so much here.
I would
for the longest time places would do, you know, they do like a paper cup for your coffee, but then a plastic lid. So I'm like, all right, no lids. I'm not doing lids anymore.
Right.
And that really gave me that Bukowski feel of like, or Lebowski, Bukowski. Yeah. That's a different thing altogether. But yeah, that would make me feel like I was just like walking down the street with like a cup from home.
I feel like we should go one step further and just be like, you'd bring your cup to all coffee places. Like the coffee places have coffee, they don't have cups. Like it's a BYO situation. I feel like we'd save so much money and
right. But it'd be like paper. Then what do? Do we start bringing like our plates to In-N-Out? Like,
yeah.
Just put it right on the plate.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not?
Don't wrap it.
This is the time. We are doing like a big setback here. We have a lot of time to think up how the world we want to go back to. I say bring your plates to In-N-Out. Also, I don't really. Are you an In-N-Out kind of guy?
I will say.
Yeah.
That In-N-Out is probably the hands down best burger. There's so many, you know, there's all these different variables. It's so hard to say there's only one best of anything, right?
Right.
But when you kind of like put, when you're looking at all the categories, I think In-N-Out ticks off the most boxes.
Interesting. What are your boxes? Because I would say that they do not have good fries.
Okay, right. That's true. That's like one of the drawbacks.
Yeah.
They don't. The fries are fine. You kind of put up with them because they come with like one of the best burgers.
Right.
Sure. But you're right. No, they're not great. They're healthier, actually, than your average fry. The best fries are McDonald's fries.
Yeah. Yeah. The more salt, the better. It actually kind of brings me the product I brought today, which is my inflatable hot tub.
Wow.
Or do you have a pool?
We don't.
Oh, wow.
But we moved.
We
lived in the Valley for the first 13 years here and raised our kids there in Encino and had the pool because it gets very hot there. So if you don't, you know, you got to have a pool.
Yeah.
And then both my kids got into schools on the west side. So we sold that house and we live on the west side now.
Oh, the west side. So the west side's so nice, but it also doesn't get as hot, right?
Right. So we really, we weren't looking for a house with a pool over here.
So when we decided to move, I was like, I really want a pool. Like, I would love to find a house with a pool. And then it turns out, like, we very quickly realized, like, we don't have, like, rent a house with a pool money. But what we had was buy a balloon pool money. So this hot tub, I'm going to, like, drop the link so that you can see it while we're looking at it. But while I'm talking about it. But it's kind of crazy. It's, like, one of those things where you're, like, like this thing for sure doesn't exist. And then you Google it and it turns out it does. You know what I mean? You're like, it's like kind of when you get high and you're like, oh, what a great idea. An inflatable hot tub. Someone already came up with it. And then I just bought it. So it's a 4-person hot tub. It's like, I bought it for like $300, but I think right now that everyone's home, it's now $600.
Oh boy.
So that's called, I mean, I don't know, business, but it's annoying. So I'm dropping it into our chat box so you can see it.
Okay.
It's funny. It's like, it's this green. Can you see it?
Well, I tried clicking on that link. Let's see, where's our chat box? This is also going to be fun for people to hear me be unable to
use
technology.
No, it's so if you go, do you see the bottom right hand corner with that little like text box?
Oh, yeah.
So if you click that and then in the text box.
Yeah.
If you click that, I think it'll bring it to you. Do you see it?
Yeah. Here it is. That wasn't so hard, Tom, was it?
You did it.
Hey. Oh, it's not showing up. Oh, okay. Well.
Okay, great. Well, okay. It's the Coleman. We'll figure it out. It's this green, like inflatable hot tub. It's big enough for 4 people. The picture of it on Amazon is 4 people sitting in the hot tub. I don't know where their legs are, but like, they have to be on top of one another. It doesn't make sense any other way. But, like, it gets up to 104 degrees. It has jets. It's great. And you can time it. So,
oh, there, like, it is. I got it now.
You see it?
The Coleman
Salu Spa.
Spa.
Yeah. For $600, which is price gouging. But you know what? Okay.
Hey. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful green color.
Beautiful green color. It's got this like egg that looks like the smoker.
Yeah. I assume it's not.
It's not. It's just a water heater. I will say the downside to it has been really amazing. I'll go in it like every day because it feels, it feels very, well, first of all, the weather here is perfect for it. I mean, like it's like a 70 degree day, no humidity. Like I'll bring a book in or I'll like even put my like iPad up and like watch something and I feel like a real tool, but it's really comfortable and it like gives me that pool. It like, you know, quenches the thirst that I had for the pool.
Someone's going to have to buy one of these and be on the other side of this Skype call with you as both are lounging in the bubbling waters.
Yeah.
That could be a really relaxing podcast.
Yeah. I feel like that, right. That's the next step. Is like just snaking the mic in. It's I convinced a few people to buy one, especially with this quarantine, because, you know, people with kids, like, especially, like, how old are your kids?
My kids are older, 19 and 15.
Okay, so can you imagine, like, doing what you're doing now, but they're, like, 12 and, like, 8?
Wow. And,
right? I mean, like, that's just a lot. Like, I'm very happy to not be 12 right now, and I'm also happy to not have a 12-year-old. And we have a few friends who have kids in that age range who bought this because they were, like,
they need something to do.
We need something to do. Like, this could keep a 9-year-old entertained. It could keep a 9-year-old and me entertained for a really, really long time. The only drawback of it is the electricity bill is high. But I also think I might be.
Now? Are you? Well, is it operating at 104 as we speak?
It's operating at 100 because I read a forum on Reddit that said. Hold on, let me see if I can show it to you. Because if I turn the computer, you might be able to see it. Can you see it outside?
There it is.
It is. So for the first month that I had it, I was running it at 104 24/7, which the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power, they got a pretty penny for me for my first bill. Sure. I've managed a system now where, like, you don't shut it off completely because to reheat it takes a lot more energy. So I put it at like a 97 on the off days. The other thing about it is the jets are very cool. It, like, does feel like you're actually in a real hot tub. But actual jacuzzis, which you need a permit. What?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, what? How much does it cost to put in a real one?
Like $5,000.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a huge savings.
Yeah, it's a huge savings. Right. I'm being smart by buying this.
Yeah.
What I say. It's a financially sound choice. Yeah. And also, in Los Angeles, you need a permit to put in, like, an actual jacuzzi. You cannot just put one in your backyard, apparently.
But these blow-ups,
you can blow up a jacuzzi.
No permit required.
Truly. Yeah, so that's been my recommendation to people. It does feel like a little shitty, because I know all of my friends at home in New York are, like, stuck in their apartments with limited outdoor space, and I'm like, oh, this sucks, but, like, I'm in this, like, pool. So I don't try to rub it in, but I actually think if people do have the space, it's like a nice purchase.
I know my brother-in-law and his wife bought a place in Joshua Tree that they fixed up, and they Airbnb it out. It was a really great investment for them. They're actually there now. Like, they just stopped taking renters, and they're just staying there.
Smart.
And they're going to put in what's called a cowboy pool.
What's that?
Heard of that?
No.
So you buy one of those galvanized steel giant, like, you get them from like a feed store for, like, horses and cows and stuff. It's like one of those giant silver kind of, like,
like troughs.
Yeah, it's like a trough, but it's big enough to be a kiddie pool.
Oh my gosh.
Or bigger. And there's all these, like, DIY ways to take those and turn them into hot tubs and stuff.
Oh, cool. Rich.
And a lot of these, like, Joshua Tree places have done this.
That feels very on brand for Joshua Tree. That's really cool. So you basically just sit in, like, a big trough. Can they heat it? I guess you can if there's DIY. Yes, stuff.
Yeah, you get, like, you get all the equipment. You get, like, a motor and a filter and a heater, and you know, like, put in, like, the stuff.
Oh, that's awesome. I just Googled cowboy pool because I wanted to see. Oh, these are so cool. Yeah, this is awesome. And right, and all the pictures of all the images are, like, Joshua Tree.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. Now, is the Airbnb, like, have you gotten any wind from your family about how, like, screwed that market is? Like, is it?
They actually were getting a lot of requests.
Because people wanted to leave.
People wanted to get out. I hear that that's actually, like, the thing to do in New York is to get out if you have the means to just get out and get a house somewhere.
It's the thing to do, but people are not. It's not a good idea. Like, it's very controversial.
It is controversial. I know that my friends who did that and got a house up in, I forget what town they were in. They're still there, like Woodstock or somewhere. You know, they got
way. Yeah, like a Rhinebeck upstate New York place.
And people are just like, oh, you came from the city? Great.
Yeah. It's not. So I feel like there was a deadline cut off of like when you could make that decision to go. And I think that there's been a huge argument of like when it's too late to leave and when you're putting other people in harm. But apparently New York has like really cleared out. Like anyone with money is gone, which is kind of sad. I think in a lot of ways.
And New York as a city is a wonderful city that, you know, is near and dear to a lot of people. And this pandemic has really shown like what was great about New York was also what really caused the big problem there.
Yeah.
You know, what was great was that you were just always experiencing this with all these other people. And it was just such a flow and a vibe. But then that ultimately in this kind of situation is bad.
Is like the downfall. Yeah. I mean, there's so many different things at play in New York. There's like, it's like hugely segregated. It's like, there's a huge, like, you know, socioeconomic disparity between people, but there is also this sense of like being in it together when you're in New York. Like when you're on the subway and the subway breaks down, as it always does, like you can make eye contact with literally any other person and be like, fuck, like this fucking sucks. And everyone sort of like gets it. And I feel like what I learned about LA when I got here is like, there is nothing, like everyone is very happy to be here.
It's like, true. It's very different. It's such a more capsulized living experience here. You go from your house to your car to your wherever you're going.
Yeah.
You don't mingle as much.
Which makes a situation like the one we're in, it's actually very beneficial.
So, yeah.
But New York is hard. I mean, even people who are like, I'm just trying to go for like a long walk, but like so is everyone else. So like everyone's on the sidewalk and no one can get anywhere.
It's just somebody. Yeah. It's hard to be more than 6 feet away from anybody.
It really is. I mean, even in your own apartment building, like you share walls with people, it's kind
of
impossible.
Elevators,
yeah, buttons. I wonder what if we'll ever go back to just like touching stuff ever willingly.
Yeah. I don't know how soon that'll be back. I don't know. People on NPR today were talking in my one car ride that
I took
in the last month. They were talking about handshakes going away, and I'm like, culturally, I don't think they'll go away, but maybe we will stop being so touchy feely.
We might, at least for a period of time, unless like, you know, until the threat is like really mitigated, I'm sure it will be like a little weird. I mean, everyone's been saying this, but it's very weird to watch TV during this and see everybody like, you know, eating chips and salsa out of the same bowl like it's nothing. And it's like wild. It's like you guys are standing so close
in such a short amount of time. We have already like instilled this like you know, we're triggered by these images and these thoughts.
Well, Tom Everett Scott, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. You did a great job making this pandemic happen and just sort of like to weasel your way on here.
Yep. And I used it to my advantage.
I appreciate your hard work. My first ever celebrity crush within a week. Now he's on the podcast. This is a record for me in many different ways.
Things move so fast during the pandemic. You just gotta, I think we all learned that we're just all available.
Right. That's if you take away from anything from this, you guys, the celebrities are home and they're also doing nothing. Call your favorite one. See if they'll talk to you. So you heard about the Keanu air vent iPhone holder. You heard about the Keep Cup and you heard about the hot tub. All three things to use to your advantage while you're stuck at home. Tom Everett Scott, remind everybody, or like, I know it's a wishful thinking and it's probably going to happen, but when is this Own Eaters live blog Zoom thing happening? April 17th?
Yes. Depending on when this comes out and if everything goes according to plan, there will be a YouTube live commentary of the film That Thing You Do by me, Steve Zahn, Jonathan Scheck, Ethan Embry, and some other guests.
Incredible.
And it should be at 7 p.m. Eastern time, 4 p.m. Pacific.
On the YouTube channel?
Channel, which you can find. I have tweeted it out and put it on Instagram. On Twitter, I am at Tom E. Scott. And on Instagram, I am Tom Everett Scott.
Perfect. Okay. Well, I'm definitely tuning into that. And that'll be the highlight of next week. This is the highlight of this week. And you can watch I'm Sorry, which I really recommend, on Netflix. There's two full seasons there, right?
Yes, two.
Perfect.
Full
really funny. Like, such a, it kind of reminded me of like You're the Worst and New Girl, like kind of its earliest seasons, like quick, very funny.
Yeah.
Relatable. Nothing too deep, sad, or depressing about it.
No. Really good comedy.
It's really good. Thank you so very much for giving me your time today, and hopefully just this is the start of our new best friendship.
I love it.
You are my biggest fan, Tom Everett Scott.
And I play the drums, and I have all your records. Well, not all of them, but a lot of them. But at least I did until some of them got swiped when I was stationed in Germany, and you were playing in Germany at the time that I was stationed there. But you know what? I couldn't see because you were playing in Hamburg and I was stationed in Munich. But I listened to your records, and I think you're great. You are my biggest fan.
Thanks for coming, Ajit. Thanks to Spot It.
Thank you. Take care.